Tell me now when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone, to pull my hair and store my comb, that's alright till I go home. She's handsome, she's pretty, she's the belle of Dublin City, she's Carton 123, please won't you tell me who is she? Albert Mooney says he loves her, and all the boys are fighting for her. They knock at the door, they ring at the bell, oh my jewel, oh are you well? Out she comes, as white as snow.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
And we're listening to Shannon's song, right?
And
isn't she the belle of Dublin
City? No, the script says I say, I'm Dave.
Is she handsome?
This
and
is
any Irish woman is...
Trisha.
Handsome and pretty.
No, not handsome, Eric. And handsome and pretty do not go with women.
Yes, they do.
Yes,
huh?
They do.
Oh, I'm supposed
handsome
to stop
woman?
The
you've
see,
been a handsome woman. Try saying to a woman you're handsome and see what happens.
Okay. Well.
No, right? Am I right?
We can test that out in the
Eric,
future.
Eric, am I right?
She's so handsome. She's so pretty.
These are the young young Dubliners singing I'll Tell Me Ma. It's a song that you heard in the movie Leap Year. And yes, it is a leap year, so
oh,
that's more
appropriate
right.
than
that's the last That's where I heard
That's a pretty good movie.
It was.
Maybe Amy Adams. And
she's a dolly.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
say in the song that she is handsome, she is pretty. Isn't handsome kind of like not really a nice thing to
but
say?
But she's
exactly.
also the
Thank
belle
you,
of
Eric.
Dublin City.
He agrees well, with
me. But she's the belle of Dublin City. But
we'll
I think handsome used to be used for both sexes. And for non-sexual items such as that's a handsome horse, that's a handsome carriage.
That's a handsome host.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Dave well, before, is the handsomest.
Before exactly.
We bring
thank
on,
you.
Before we bring on our Irish guest,
oh, okay.
We wanted Dave this hour.
Yeah, this hour brought to you by the handsome Alexander's All Care Automotive.
Okay.
No, Alexander, awesome guy, All Care Automotive. And he sort of revamped his... waiting area as a TV. They have drinks, you know, like not hard drinks.
Oh,
but
I was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bar. It's, you know, like water and Coke and stuff. And they have a popcorn machine. It's a good place just to hang out, I got to tell you. So, Alexander, visit them. Great, great auto mechanic. 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
And the name says it all, because no matter what it is
all
that needs
automotive.
To be done, he can take care of it.
Yes,
so
he can.
He cares for it all.
Tell him Dave said hi. Back to Joe.
Suff. Jay Erdo. And right now.
I can call you Little
Joey.
Joe, right?
Well, we want to say top of the morning to our first guest today. I'm going to try it again. Sonahi. Julian Osborne McKnight, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll say Gias Muiridi Vaharja, which is good morning to all of ye friends.
Oh, nice.
Now, wait. I'm sorry.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. I got to hear that one more time. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful. You had me at hello.
Gias Muiridi Vaharja. That is Irish Gaelic. And the dialect that I speak is Donegal, which is the oldest version of Irish in the known world.
Wow.
Well, that's cool. That's cool stuff.
I mean,
it is
so
beautiful. I wish I could learn to speak like that.
Me
that
too.
Is like,
me too.
That's like, wow, you did it.
It's
it was
the
awesome.
Hardest language I've ever tried to learn.
Wow. And, you know, tell us, because I introduced you as a Sonahi, right? Am I pronouncing it somewhat correctly?
It's pronounced Sonahi.
Sonahi.
And it means storyteller.
Storyteller.
Can you get that language on Rosetta Stone?
You can, actually. Do you believe that? Yes,
wow.
You can actually get Irish on Rosetta Stone.
Oh, wow.
And it would sound the way that you just sounded? Because I could,
no,
I could like, go to sleep listening
to that.
No, the dialect
that they use on
that.
Rosetta Stone is the dialect that you would hear in the center of Ireland, you know, the area that would contain Dublin and the Midlands, which is a softer form of Irish. There are six forms of Gaelic. Irish is just one of the six forms of Gaelic, but it's the oldest form of Gaelic in the world.
Wow.
Well, now I understand that you're with DeSalle University, and tell us your title there.
I'm chair of the Department of Humanities and associate professor of Irish Studies and Creative Writing.
Oh, that's great. And of course, you have some books out. Can you tell us a couple of those titles?
Oh, sure, and thank you for asking. My first novel was I Am of Ireland. That's the story of St. Patrick. The second was Daughter of Ireland. That's the story of the Druids in Ireland. The third was Bright Sword of Ireland. And that's the story of Queen Maeve of Connaught, who auctioned her daughter off. I'm not making that up. So it's the story of the poor auctioned off daughter who, you know, has to stand up to a mother like that. And the fourth book is Song of Ireland, and that is the story of the very first Celts who landed in Ireland, who supposedly encountered the little people of Ireland. And then my newest book is nonfiction. It's a journalism book. It's called The Story We Carry in Our Bones, Irish History for Americans.
When you say little people, do you mean leprechauns?
No, and that's a really great question, because in America, we tend to think that means leprechauns, but in Ireland, they're much more dangerous than that. They're actually about 5 feet tall. They give off a blue or white light. They live forever. They never get sick. They never get old. They never die. And they're very, very powerful. And they live in the hollows of the hills and through the stone doorways. And they live in another dimension of time. So if you get pulled into their world, you will think you've been with them for 3 days. You'll come back out. 300 years will have passed, and everyone you knew will be gone.
Do they have babies?
They do have babies, and they also intermarry with human beings.
What? Oh. Oh, I think my ex, I had one of those experiences. Wow, that sounds scary.
this is fun. Kind of like you know, Buffy and Angel, you know?
Wow.
There you
vampire
go.
Married
there you go.
So where do
or,
we
you know, like the vampires who turn into werewolves who marry across the clans.
Wow.
Like that.
Wow. This is amazing. Now, of course, we could talk to you about a variety of topics. We only have a
few minutes
with you.
I can talk to her about anything because her voice is awesome.
I know. And one
oh,
thing,
thank you.
And Trisha, I know you and I both love this movie. It was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes.
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Right?
Loved
it. Oh, I saw that too. I loved
it. You liked it too, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, what did you think of Brooklyn, Julien?
Absolutely loved it. And before the movie, I love Colm Tabin, who is the writer of the novel on which the movie is based. He's a really evocative writer. His books are full of gorgeous detail and real insight into people. He's a terrific writer, and I loved the movie. I thought the movie was luminous.
Yeah, and it just captured, I think, I mean, any immigrant situation, but especially, you know, that the Irish, I love that aspect of it. Don't you agree?
And you're right. It's every immigrant situation, because any time an immigrant group comes here, you know, you're coming to a foreign country with essentially a foreign language, even if it is English, with all kinds of different customs. And, of course, you know, we're the only tossed salad of the world.
Yeah.
So when you come here, you're coming into every single ethnicity that ever lived on Earth is here. And that's got to be frightening.
Wow. Wow.
For Donald Trump, it is.
And of course, you know, so tell us, you know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up on Thursday, right?
And that's when everybody wants to be Irish.
Yeah, everybody, yeah, of course.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah, it's Thursday. And it's
Thursday.
And that's a great point, Trisha, is that, you know, there's I don't think there's another holiday in another culture. It's like not one day that everyone wants to be Italian or something like that. It's like there's one day a year everybody wants to be Irish. So tell us, for those of us who don't know who St. Patrick is, give us a brief summary of St. Patrick. Why is he important?
Sure. Well, actually, St. Patrick, first of all, wasn't Irish. He was Welsh, Breton, Roman. He was captured as a slave when he was 16 years old, sold to a sheep herder in County Mayo in the west of Ireland, lasted as a slave for 6 years, and then ran away, made his way via France back home to Wales, where his parents thought he was dead, asked him never ever to go back to Ireland again. And then every night for the next 18 years, he was awakened by a voice that said, Mo Buchel, which means my boy, come ye back to Ireland. And eventually, when he was 40 years old, he got ordained as a priest, and he went back to Ireland, and he started spreading Christianity all over Ireland. The myth is that he drove the snakes out of Ireland. There were never any snakes there, ever. But the other myth is that he used the shamrock to teach the concept of Trinity. And he became the patron saint of the Irish, I think probably because he wandered all over Ireland founding churches.
Wow.
Maybe snakes was a metaphor.
I think snakes is a metaphor for the bad fella. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was going to say, I wish that St. Patrick would come here and take all the rattlesnakes out of Arizona.
But then you also said that he didn't use the clover leaf.
We don't know. I mean, that's an apocryphal story. What we do know is that the Irish who were living in Ireland before Christianity already had an entire system of tripartite gods in place, most of which were female, actually. They had three-part goddesses. And so the idea of a tripartite god was not frightening to them at all. So they accepted Christianity very readily. In fact, Ireland was the only country in the history of the world to Christianize with no bloodshed whatsoever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Hey, do you do voiceover work?
I know,
you do have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to do voiceover work. I think that would be so much fun. I love when I meet people with what I call radio voice because, you know, somebody will say something and I'll say, ooh, you have radio voice.
That's exactly what I thought when I heard you. I was
do
like,
"Do I have radio voice?"
No, Dave. What they say about you is radio face.
You most certainly do.
Now we're talking. All right, I'll meet you in Ireland.
Of course, you know, in Ireland, we do exaggerate things just a wee bit.
I do too at times too.
Right. Well, you know. So, but what are your plans for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I'm doing some television interviews here in the Philadelphia area that will run during the daytime news and the evening news about St. Patrick and about celebrations here and celebrations in Ireland. And then, you know, I'll have supper with a group of Irish friends in between all of that.
Now, does that include corned beef and cabbage?
It does include corned beef and cabbage, although... This is interesting. Mm-hmm. They never did eat corned beef in Ireland ever. They learned about corned beef when they moved here, and they moved into neighborhoods in New York City that also included Jewish immigrants who showed them how to make brisket.
Wow. Oh, wow. That'd be good. Corned beef, cabbage, and then a little dessert, brisket.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's corned beef.
That's the corned beef brisket.
You know, last year I went to hear of the Tilted Kilt? It's a restaurant.
The Tilted Kilt?
Maybe it's only out here in the West.
What a great name.
They don't have them that far.
Oh, okay. But it is good. And they're going to serve corned beef and cabbage all day. Last year, I went several times. I loved it so much. I did.
Well, and it helps that the girls are wearing really, really short kilts and nice little tie tops.
Oh,
I never. What about the guys?
Oh, I don't notice the guys.
They're
just the drinkers in the bar.
I think they're, yeah, exactly. They come in all shapes and sizes.
Well, you can't say that on the radio.
I can't.
You just did.
Well, I love corned beef and cabbage, you know.
We bought some last night.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's one thing I love.
Chunk of it.
Oh, yes. I love that stuff.
Oh, I'm making a recipe from the Chew, by the way.
Well, I was going to say,
Chompies,
yeah.
Remember, Chompies
and
have
Chompies
it, too.
And Chompies has a special,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that's pretty
decent. That's the Jewish deli that's here
Chompies
that we
is
love.
Very good.
Yeah,
and they
it's
do an excellent
good.
Job. Well, and now we know that the Irish learned it from the Jews.
Yeah, and
so.
We got to ask you one final question before we let you go, Julene.
Sure.
Green beer, Irish or not?
It's Julene, by the way.
Purely American, along with green spaghetti and green spaghetti sauce and... Green everything is purely American.
Right. Oh, wow, really?
Well, in the Emerald Isle, everything is already green.
It's already green, and there's 48 shades of it.
Were you born in Ireland?
No, I've spent pretty much every summer of my life in Ireland.
Oh.
I did my graduate work there, and I take my students there every single summer, which is why I learned to speak it and read it, and it's my second home.
So it's part of your heritage, right?
Yes, my family was all from County Mayo in the west of Ireland, and we're what's called famine Irish. We're the people who were driven out of Ireland by the potato famine.
Which there's a bunch that happened
too. It was millions, honestly, millions. And right now in the United States, more than 40 million people have Irish ancestry. It's a huge number.
I am from the Devaney and O'Grady clans.
Oh, well, you certainly absolutely do. And probably your family was famine Irish. Probably came during or right after the potato famine.
Well, I love salmon.
Wow, okay.
Well, but how wonderful that you're able to share this culture and be able to really give some truth to people, and we appreciate you joining us to do that for us as well and for our listeners.
And, and I'm sure that we've got more questions. So, you know, where can we find find you, you know, after the show? Give us a website, any
social media. Well, for our listeners as well.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I'm at www.JuleneOsborneMcKnight.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and the books are at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I will say to all three of you, Gora Mila Mahagat, which means a thousand thank yous for having me on. Oh. This was fun. My dad lived in Arizona for years and years and years. I love Arizona.
Well, we really appreciate you, Julene Osborne McKnight. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Banach San Le La Fodrig.
I agree.
Banach San Le La Fodrig.
I love it.
I'm the one with the radio voice. Okay.
Oh, she's got
thank you so much.
Take care.
Hopefully we'll get you on again.
Yes.
We'd love to have you on.
Thank you. I'll come back anytime.
Oh, perfect.
Thanks so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Wow. She's right. Gorgeous.
You've
voice.
Heard of yes. I Dream a Genie?
Yeah.
I dream of
Julene.
Your wife sitting next to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let them have that discussion during the break, because the Pogues are going to take us into our break with a song from P.S. I Love You, Fairy Tale of New York. Of course, it's a Christmas song, but it's an Irish Christmas song.
I think I've heard this, right?
Yeah, we played it on our St. Patrick's
Day
special.
Was it from a movie?
P.S. I Love You.
Oh, I saw that. That was with Gerard Butler.
And Hilary Swank.
Hillary Clinton,
beautiful woman inside and out.
Yeah, she is. Do you know her?
No, but I've seen interviews with her where she talks about her love for animals and stuff.
Because you love animals.
Yes.
Excellent. And this is Great Crew Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.